What we've been able to do with the cobot is to help bring the welders. Hey, man, you're making whatever an hour. Why don't you spend an hour a day learning the cobot? And if you can do that, I'll give you a raise. And then if you can do that, why don't you do some prefab and I'll give you a raise. And then when you do that, you're fabricating, bro. So it actually helps with employee morale and the attrition rate. Like everybody's staying, they get to earn more.
Welcome to Manufacturing Happy Hour, the podcast where we get real about the latest trends and technologies impacting modern manufacturers.
Manufacturing
Happy Hour. Each week, we interview industry experts that are at the top of their craft and give you the tools, tactics, and strategies you need to take your career and your business to the next level. And now, your host, Chris Lukey.
Hey, what's up, folks? It's episode 183. Today, we're going to be talking about a case study in the adoption of robotics. We've got two guests this week. We've got Rob Goldies, CEO and co-founder of Hirebotics, a company that makes welding cobots for welders. We've also got Justin Montez, CEO of D'Angelo Marine Exhaust. And this is an episode, quite frankly, that we've needed to do for a while. We talk about leadership on this show. We talk about robotics and trends and technologies, but I'm really excited to dive into a real-world scenario of what it looks like when a company adopts robotics, specifically cobots, collaborative robots. What factors into the decision, the hiccups that happen along the way? What does success look like after a robot is installed? All of this and more in today's episode, and here are a few things you can expect. First, there's just a great vibe between these two. It's a great story from start to finish of how D'Angelo Marine Exhaust went about evaluating robotic solutions and ultimately went with Hirebotics and what it's doing for their business. It's candid. You'll hear Justin talk about a guy named Matt that's Rob's co-founder, just giving you a little background as we get into it. Second, if you're into welding and fabrication, you're going to love this episode. We get into some details early in the interview and a little later in the interview around welding. And I should say, if you like boats, you're also going to enjoy this conversation too. Third thing I'll say is that this episode is not, in fact, sponsored by either D'Angelo Marine Exhaust or Hirebotics. Maybe that'll surprise you because of the great things they say about one another. But really, this is meant to give you a guide on what it's like to purchase a robot so that you know what to do when you need to make a technology investment. So hey, if you find this episode valuable, make sure you share this with others, whether that's in your organization or other people in your network that you think might find value for this as well, particularly anyone that might be a stakeholder in a decision to purchase a cobot or technology at some point. Anyway, as always, if you want to learn more and dive into the resources from this episode, go to manufacturinghappyhour.com/183. And while I did say that this episode is not sponsored by our guests today, this episode is sponsored by A3, the Association for Advancing Automation, because Automate 2024 is coming up next week on May 6th through 9th. At the McCormick Place in Chicago. We're going to be taking it over. If you want to register for that event, you can register for the event for free. Go to manufacturinghappyhour.com/automate2024 to get taken to the main page. This is going to be the biggest Automate ever. 360,000 square feet, over 800 exhibitors, over 30,000 registrations. You know, in this episode, we're talking about how to adopt robotics. Well, that's a great event to go to learn all of this as well. And then the final thing I'll say is that, yes, there is a Manufacturing Happy Hour party taking place at Automate. That's on Tuesday, May 7th at the brand new Guinness Open Gate Brewery in the West Loop of Chicago. Going to be a great time co-hosting that with some of our sponsors on this show, Harding and Gray Solutions, as well as Jake Hall, the Manufacturing Millennial. Going to be good, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on May 7th at the Guinness Open Gate Brewery. And one more time, if you want to sign up for Automate, I highly recommend you do. Go to manufacturinghappyhour.com/automate2024 today. And with that, we've got a great conversation ahead. This is a fun one. I hope to do more stuff like this on the show. I'm excited to hear what you think about it. But hey, without further ado, let's get you introduced to Rob and Justin.
All
Okay, we got a unique setup here at Manufacturing Happy Hour today. It's not often that we get two guests on the show at the same time, but we have two today. And Justin, we're going to start off with you with the icebreakers. Describe what D'Angelo Marine Exhaust does, as if we're hanging out at a local bar, for example.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having me, first of all. Love doing all this kind of stuff. But yeah, D'Angelo Marine Exhaust, we make the exhaust systems for all the big yachts you might see out there. We are located in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which a lot of people don't know is the yachting capital of the world. I grew up in Miami, Florida, 45 minutes south, and I never knew there was a marine industry in Fort Lauderdale. But when I started working here, it is significant. And so it's kind of like a niche market, what we do, like exhaust systems for yachts. You don't really think about that, but right place, right time. We've been in business for almost 40 years now, so we got a good name. And yeah, that's basically it. We work with naval architects, boat builders, service yards, governments, militaries, installations, all things like that.
Yeah, I was really excited when I did a quick search for your company, and the first thing that comes up is a picture of a mega yacht. So I knew we'd be having a good discussion today. And as you were saying, I think I saw you mention this before, it's not just yachts that you work on, correct? There are other industries that you serve in addition to that.
Yeah, like the yacht is the glamorous one, right? Wow, look at these beautiful yachts owned by celebrities and all this, which is great. But we also do a lot of commercial work. Last week, we're in South Louisiana hitting all the rounds with all the big builders there. Different type of boats, but they're still big and they still have exhaust. So, yeah, we like to spread it around and diversify.
I have to ask you, since we are pretending we're having a beer right now, this would be very fitting for this conversation. What's the coolest yacht you've ever worked on, whether it's someone specific or just a general yacht?
Oh, man. So Johnny Depp and the Pirates of the Caribbean Empire. Well, Johnny Depp has a replica boat, which is the Jolly Roger. And we've worked on that boat a lot. And the funny thing about that is it's the Jolly Roger. We all know the history. But the way he spells it is Raleigh Roger. Like if his character's always drunk saying Jolly Roger. So that's the actual name of the boat. So that was pretty cool.
That's fantastic. I don't think we could have gotten a better answer than that. I'm a big fan of pirate lore. I'm down here in Savannah right now and was just in Charleston. I've been learning about all these, all the pirate lore in these specific spots. Oh, so excellent way to kickstart this one. So Rob, that's a tough act to follow, but we're gonna switch it over to you now. So if we were hanging out at a bar or a brewery, how would you describe what Hirebotics does? Because you're the other part of this equation and this story we're going to be telling today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. So Hirebotics provides turnkey robotic welding and plasma cutting solutions to manufacturers. Where we really focus our time and energy is on the cloud-connected nature and app-based teaching for the cobot. So everybody else that has a cobot welding solution, you're on a teach penning, you're having to learn all the robot jargon. Everyone says it's easy to use, but they're really geared towards robot programmers. We have the only app-based solution on the market. So when we think about our customer, and you'll hear about this, I'm sure, from Justin today, we really think about that welder that doesn't know robotics, that doesn't know coordinate system and waypoints and things like that to make it easy for that welder to use.
Yeah, what stuck out to me when I was looking you guys up is that you're not looking for robotics experts that are using it. You're looking for welding experts. You give them an easier drop-in robotics cobot solution to use to do their job.
That's right.
You know, a new way than they've been doing it before. So I'm excited to explore your collaboration today. And I think the best way to start this off is to kick it off with a problem statement. So Justin, this one's going to you. What was the macro challenge you were trying to solve that got you to first start looking at robotics?
Yeah, well, that's easy. For us, it was we were way over capacity, behind on everything, delivering late, all that. Very similar to everyone else in the manufacturing world around the COVID times. Just couldn't put work out, delays on everything. So we're saying, hey, what gives? I guess that was the main thing. The other thing about it was our workforce was aging, specifically our fabricators, which are the heart and soul of the company. Listen, we can always hire engineers for the engineering department. We can always get another purchasing team. We can get service technicians, HR, all the other stuff we can get. Marine exhaust fabricators do not grow on trees. And we've been around for a while, so we have a lot of the know-how here in the building, but they're not getting any younger, and it's harder to get good workers. So that was the problem, and we had to figure that out. Everybody's complaining, man, I don't know, this new generation, they don't want to work. All of that, right? Okay, deal with it. Now what? Like, adapt or get left behind. So we had to figure something out, and that's what got us thinking, well, we know Fabricator's the heart and soul of our company, and we know it's not easy. It's difficult. Since we can't find people, let's make it easy. And so that's what got us thinking with automation. Right off the bat, we start going to all the trade shows. I start researching. I go deep in. You know, I'm all in now on automation. What's going to work? First thing we saw are these laser welders. And I, well, that's cool. You know, we have another company that me and my sister run where we have abrasive water jets. So we know a thing or two about coding and programming and CNC and all that. Lasers are great. We have some laser cutters as well. But the thing with laser welding is all your parts got to be perfect. And so we're not that. We are 60, 70 employees, you know, small to medium sized company. And, you know, a lot of the machines out there are very rudimentary. You got your regular welders and grinders and bandsaws and press brakes and all that, but nothing much. So a lot of our parts are cut out by hand. For example, all the stainless steel elbows we make, and we have them from 3-inch diameter to 14-inch diameter and all different kind of radiuses. And the way that's a great advantage for us, because if you buy off the shelf elbows, they're pipe elbows, and whatever the diameter is, you're looking at a factor of 1.5 for the radius. We have the tool and die to make our own, so we have tight radiuses, which is a tremendous advantage in our field, because in the engine room, there's never any space. So the more compact you can be, the better. But the way we manufacture these elbows, we'll have them laser cut or water jet cut. We press them in the mold, and that gives us two halves. Then by hand, with a hand plasma, our guys will cut out the two elbow halves and then, you know, grind the edges, make sure they're okay, and then put those two halves together and weld them by hand. No two elbow halves are the same because too many people have touched it. Laser welding is not going to work. Which is probably a good thing too, because those machines are very, very expensive. Then I saw the cobots. All right. So then I okay, cool. And it's, you know, we do welding. So I'm picking all the top welding companies, and I know they got cobots because I was at Fabtech and I saw them all had it. And I start sending them parts. Hey, can you weld this? Hey, can you weld this? Hey, can you weld this? I send it back. We're going back and forth. Nothing's working. I mean, the stuff looks horrible. They're burning holes through my parts. I'm like, okay, whatever. Gentleman at Universal Robot said, hey, you know, that's interesting, but I got this one company that they're like welding experts, and they might be a better fit. Reach out. And so that's when I reached out to HireBotics. And, you know, you got to remember, I'm several months in to having this great idea of cobots, but getting just pure crap back and saying, well, that's not going to work. I start texting with Matt, and Matt's a real laid back, straightforward guy's like, yeah, what do you want me to weld? Send me whatever. Okay, whatever. Send him the parts. And he's texting me. So that's another great thing. I can get him right now if you want me to. He'll answer me. So, hey, Justin, I got your parts with a picture. I'm like, okay, cool. 4 minutes later, I have the timestamps. 4 minutes later, the parts welded. He goes, how does this look? And it looked good. Way better than what I got before. So I was like, okay. But, you know, probably we should do a little bit more than a phone tag here and there. So I go, let me go fly to Nashville. Sure, come on up. We'll spend the day with you. Took me out to a nice, nice lunch. We went back to the shop. And, you know, within 20 minutes, I'm running the parts. And so that's it. It was done. We sent the PO and we got the machine. It was that simple. No ROIs, no nothing. Because I know what we have here. And I know this piece of equipment is what we need. And it's not, you know, it's not expensive. You're thinking robots, you're thinking it's, oh my God, $1 million. No, we're not even close. So it was a no-brainer. So that's basically how it all started and how we got to purchasing the cobot from HireBotics.
So this is a great story. There's at least one extra question I have to ask you within that story. And you pointed out that you had tried other solutions first. And this is something that I think the folks listening today that are either evaluating their first robotic solution or a new robotic solution would, like, this is some good actionable advice we can give them. You had to let's say, take a couple missteps before you found your solution, what advice would you give to people that are evaluating a cobot or a robotic solution to either A, avoid those missteps, or B, budget the time in for that type of experimentation? What would be your coaching to them?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say just don't give up. Don't accept no. You know, I don't have a welding background, but I got YouTube. I see what they're doing out there. You know, I know what it can do. Obviously, the people I were talking to, these companies, they weren't welding specific people. Were higher robotics, definitely knew what their settings were all correct, and they had everything set up. So, you know, I don't want to say give up, but don't get in your own way just because you don't get the answer you want. First of all, keep pursuing it. And oftentimes you'll find that you can find a solution, especially with something like automated welding. I mean, that's a huge deal. Just because one person can't do it doesn't mean the other one can't. Or maybe this company isn't a good fit for your needs. So just keep going. Don't give up.
We'll be back in a moment, but first, a quick word from our sponsor. If you want to empower your frontline leaders through standard work and skills development, then you need to check out Swipe Guide. Their collaborative platform lets frontline teams coordinate instructions, job aids, and training to optimize processes. But don't take it from me. Hear it from their clients. Here's a good one. Swipe Guide has been a game changer for our organization. We're now able to train our employees more quickly and effectively, and we've also seen a decrease in the number of errors and mistakes that are made. Swipe Guide was recently awarded Easiest Company to Do Business With and ranked one of the most user-friendly software solutions in the UX Design Awards. Plus, they're trusted by industrial frontrunners around the world, including PepsiCo, ABB, and Heineken. Speaking of Heineken, if you want to hear what it's like when Swipe Guide is implemented on a global scale, then head back and listen to episode 167, where Heineken's own Joris Stolk and Swipe Guide CEO Wilhelmijn Schneider discuss the impact this platform has had on their frontline teams and international brewing operation. Check out Swipe Guide today by going to swipeguide.com. And now, back to today's episode.
Yeah, I appreciate you reflecting on your experience to pull that tip for us. So, Rob, I'm going to toss it over to you now, because not only do you work with D'Angelo Marine Exhaust, but you work with a whole lot of other folks. I'm curious, we were talking about capacity issues being one of the primary thing Justin was up against. What are the things you're seeing across the industry, Rob, the issues that most folks are coming across where they're leveraging a cobot solution?
Yeah. So, well, before I touch on that, but I will touch on it, I want to just add a little bit more color to what Justin said. Because I think when Justin came to Nashville and was working with Matt on our team, didn't you do some of the programming?
Me?
Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had me do everything.
So, you know, I think that's a small but important thing, right? Oftentimes, Justin's experience is quite common. You go to these big companies or, you know, these so-called experts, and they're doing it for you, right? And so they should know how to use their own equipment and do whatever the customer needs. In this case, Justin came up to Nashville, got lunch, spent 20 minutes, I think was convinced pretty quickly. But in that time, he learned to do it and did it. And so that, you know, when we think about ease of use, right, that made us all smile, right, that it was him doing it, not us.
Yeah, and I can imagine, Rob, I don't want to speak for you, but I know the resistance to change. Like, even when we put the cobot on the floor, I could see the naysayers. You guys know how easy the cobot is with the app to run. It's got to be difficult for you to say, guys, it's not that hard. It's real easy. Come check it out, because they're just not going to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you know, Chris, to your original question, I would say the highest, like the thing that we hear most often is that companies struggling to hire and retain skilled welders. That's probably first and foremost. Meeting production is definitely up there too. But I would say the consistent thing is just companies are struggling to hire and retain key welders. It's that aging workforce. You see that all over, right? So this is not something that we've uncovered, but that's the real pain point. It starts with can't find welders, can't meet production, struggle to grow the business, right? If you can't keep welders and grow it. Way more so than the other benefits you get around consistent quality, repeatability, you know, so on and so forth. You get tremendous, and I'm sure Justin will talk about this, tremendous production benefits as well. But even if you didn't get production benefits, but it was a welder that showed up every day and provided consistent results, there's value in that. But you get so much more.
Absolutely. Everywhere I go, every meeting I'm in, it was just in Louisiana last week, at all the boat builders, big companies, can't find anybody. Got contracts on the table, can't take them, don't have workers. It's everywhere.
Yeah. No, this makes a lot of sense. This is checking out. I love the story, at least what I've heard of it so far, about this trip to Nashville. Justin, I have to ask you, was there any skepticism going into this trip? I mean, you're going up there, you've seen a part that's been sent to you via text, you're like, I've got a good gut feeling. Give us a bit more into what you were feeling going into that visit.
There was hesitation just because, you know, all the other companies couldn't do it. And those are names I knew. Those are names everybody knows. I never heard of Hirebotics. Heard of Universal Robots, I never heard of Hirebotics. And it is, you know, some of the bigger places I went to, it's intimidating, right? You walk in, you got to check in. It's like, don't touch the machine. I'll tell you how it runs. Matt was like, all right, Justin, grab that. Hit that button. Do like this. And I was like, oh, cool. And it was so easy. But yeah, I guess what I was thinking is, man, I really hope this goes well because I want to wear the cape of, I did it, the cobot, that was my idea, look, yay. But what if it doesn't work? And what if we can't, or what if we buy it and then I find out, oh, it can't weld from left to right. It's only right to left or something stupid like that. My experience with water jets and lasers or buying these big machine tools, first of all, it takes years to learn how to operate. I mean, we started our water jet company in 2009. To this day, I'm still finding new parts that can break. It's like, holy crap. And when you're talking with the salesperson, they're your best friend up until you sign the contract. And then you will never hear from them again. And everything they said was so easy is not so easy. And that seal that guaranteed is going to last 500 hours will never last 500 hours. So maybe I had some doubts going in, but again, 20 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I'm texting the CFO, cut the check, baby. We're good to go.
I like that the do-it-yourself approach that Rob and Matt and the team at Hirebotics made you take. So we talked about your hesitation here and, you know, your feelings going into it. The next question is probably a bigger question in terms of, were people on board at your company when you tried to introduce this first cobot? Were they hesitant? Fill me in on that a little bit.
Okay, so let me give you a quick background. So my father has owned this company for maybe the past 20, 25 years. I worked here from like 2005 to 2009. Then I left to go start the water jet company. And I came back about 3 years ago. And, you know, growing up in high school, these were my summer jobs and all that. So I know all the players here. And I figured when I came on in 2004 that this was going to be the easiest thing ever. I'm the owner's son. Nobody's going to tell me nothing, right? Not the case. So then I'm very hesitant of that, and I don't want to pull owner's son card, but I very much want to earn, you know, the respect of the company and try to add value. So this was like, this is a Justin project all the way. So if this didn't go through, I'm going to be in trouble. So this company is very well known in the yachting world for high quality. We are not the cheapest. We do a lot of custom fabrication and we have a good reputation in the quality. Because the founder came from aviation and, you know, the aircraft industry is light years ahead of the marine industry. Quality, materials, everything. So we had always TIG welded by hand. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, all the rage of marine exhaust was to have a water-cooled exhaust pipe. That's just an exhaust pipe with an outer jacket around it, and you fill up the middle with water. And I guess to do that, TIG welding was the thing to do because maybe MIG welding wasn't so good back in the 80s and 70s. So all the old dogs here knew one thing. TIG welding, good. MIG welding, bad. So obviously the cobot is a MIG welder. And so I could see the resistance from the people. They hadn't even looked at the machine. They hadn't even tried it. They just knew that. But the benefit we did have is I've got real good welders. So when you give welders a tool like this, I mean, they're, you know, out of the box, it's got all the right settings, but then they start tweaking and now it's like they love it. And you can't tell the difference between my best TIG welder and a and an easy cobot weld. You can't tell the difference now.
What I like about that story a lot is the hesitation you highlighted wasn't the fact that technology was being brought in. It was that a different welding technique that your team and the industry swears by was being brought in. So I find that very interesting.
They were all obsessed. It's got to be a full penetration. When you weld here, it's got to penetrate all the way through. I'm like, all right. So just do that on the cobot. I mean, just you can tweak the setting. You get a full penetration, you know, at 10x the speed. And like Rob said, never going to miss a day. You can run lights out. It's never sick. It's never hung over. It doesn't ask for a raise. It doesn't go home early.
Well, fill me in now. What is the response to having this tool available at this point? It sounds like it's positive and your best welders are all about it now. Is that correct?
Yes. So, and let me preface this. I am not paid by HireBotics. I'm not on the payroll. It's nothing like that. This is just legitimately, you know, something that we incorporate and we've had tremendous success. So I want to tell the world. So it went from, you know, a little bit of hesitancy to now they're coming up with more things to do on the cobot. In most companies, and certainly in ours, you can get into it, production and engineering, right? They get into it. Engineers know everything. Production knows everything. And then get into it. That sometimes happens. Our fabricators are constantly going into engineering. Say, hey, how about this? Hey, how about this? How about this? Design it like this so I could do it on the cobot. It's like, it's amazing. Because I think in those years in the early 2020s, everybody was so burnt out. We were spending well over six figures in overtime year in, year out. And everybody's getting burned out. We didn't have enough labor, so working all kinds of overtime. Which is great for a little bit, but nobody wants to live like that. And now they got the cobot, and it's like we got caught up right away to the point where the production people were getting scared, saying, hey, there's no more work on the floor. What do we do? Are you guys going to switch to a four-day week? What are we going to? I said, no, we're just caught up. Enjoy it. You should have an hour or so a day to, you know, chill out. Get used to it. The sales haven't gone down. You just got more efficient. Enjoy it. Train. Go do something else. So they love it, man. And plus, it's just cool to have a robot. Like, look behind Rob. That thing is cool, man. So, you know, just yesterday, we had two local high schools touring the plant, and that's stop number one at the cobot. And we have little setup things, and we let the kids press the play button and see how cool it is. And they're like, wow, cool. Taking pictures, they love it.
Next round of our interviews coming up right after a word from our sponsor. If you're thinking about making a robotic investment, there are a few things that'll ensure you get the biggest ROI in the least amount of time. One, how quickly you can get your robots up and running. Two, keeping downtime to the bare minimum. And three, making sure your robots are working at peak efficiency and productivity. This is where Visual Components steps in. Visual Components is an industry-leading offline programming solution for robots. It's designed to boost your robot's utilization rates and pump up your production output to maximum levels. Picture this. You can program your robots, regardless of the brand, up to 10 times faster before production even starts, letting them hit the ground running without any hiccups. The best part? You can save and reuse your programs for future projects. As an industry leader in manufacturing simulation with some of the best robot offline programming capabilities around, Visual Components is the trusted partner of over 2,400 manufacturing firms and systems integrators worldwide, and they're helping them all elevate their production automation game. Visit visualcomponents.com/tour to find out more. And now, back to today's episode.
Yeah, I like a lot of the things you said. You first ended there on that, hey, now you have more time for training. You talked about how this is a way to get the next generation excited because the first stop on the tour. Lots of great highlights there. Rob, we're going to go back to you again because I want to hear kind of the macro of what you see from the industry as well. So this is how it was adopted at D'Angelo. How do you see the adoption and the, let's say, the reactions to it when the new technology comes in?
Yeah, so it's quite similar to the experience that Justin has had. What I think, and again, I'm on the supplier side of the equation, right? So Justin can sort of say, yeah, that makes sense or that it doesn't. But I think for years, people, welders, operators have been scared of automation and technology because traditional robots were in a cage. And it's like, that's for them. They're on that side and I'm on this side. And the cage is like, is it keeping the humans away from the robot or the robot away from the humans? Don't really know, but they're in separate, they operate in separate spaces. And, you know, I think there also is a general tendency of fear of automation. It's going to replace my job versus it's going to take the dull, dirty, dangerous stuff away. So I can be more creative. I can kind of run the machine versus, you know, the machine taking my work. So there oftentimes is a bit hesitation, but where we see that breakthrough is, and again, we focus on this, is empowering the welder. It's a tool for them. This is not a tool for the manufacturing engineer or the roboticist. Sure, they can use it and they can have fun with it, but we really want to bring this directly to the welders. And that, you know, once they kind of realize that this is a tool for them, not for somebody else to do their work or take the work away, that's when they start to embrace it. And, you know, the faster they kind of get over that hurdle, mental hurdle, that emotional hurdle of this is not a threat to me, it's actually a tool for me. They, you know, we see and hear stories like Justin has with his team where they're starting to come up with new ideas, right? Beyond what they originally thought it could do.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the things that I didn't touch on a second ago that really stuck out was that it's made your team more innovative is what it sounds like, Justin. Like they're looking for new things the cobot can do. And when they see it, they bring it to engineering and they get buy-in from the rest of the team.
Yep. One thing that in the traditional world of automation, right? And this is how a lot of, I think, people in automation are geared, is the robot is set up to do high volume stuff. One or two things, three things. And so the mentality has been, I need to do an ROI. I got to do a time study. These are my three parts. I've identified them. Once we get them set up, we're going to go. That's what they're going to run. That's it. And, you know, this is a connected product, right? And we'll talk about support and things like that. But we have lots of data that we use to help guide product development. And on average, people are teaching like 40 or 70, some high number of variety of different parts on a single cobot. And it's because it's so flexible, right? They start to unlock that creativity. And so what sometimes can be a burden or a hurdle for people to get over upfront is, which parts am I going to run? And they really sometimes get stuck on trying to figure out which one or two parts can this run. They get it in there and then they find out it can do a whole world of things for them.
One of our guys, he just got hired out of right out of college, engineer guy. And he's like, hey, can I play with the cobot? And I'm like, yeah, man, learn it. You're going to be designing these systems. Design it to be welded on that. And he uses it as a 3D printer. And he actually made us a little elbow by just coboting the weld built up and out like a little elbow. I'm like, holy crap. Like, I would have never thought of that. So, yeah, it's good to see the engagement. And, yeah, man, shoot, eat your heart out. Go ahead.
Justin, I really want to ask you, because one thing I've heard come up a couple times in this conversation is you didn't have to do a real long, complex ROI study to justify this, which if I'm someone that's looking at buying a robot, maybe my first robot, I feel like I could just get stuck for months, for weeks, you know, for a very long time trying to justify the ROI. What's your coaching on something like this where you didn't have to do that for, let's say, an aggressively long period of time?
Yeah, I mean, it was common sense. Like, I know our parts. We do tens of thousands of elbows a year. If I could get a machine to weld that at 20 inches versus two, that's just elbows, not support brackets, not mixer tanks, not water inlets, not flange, not everything else it can do, one part. And I just knew. The money was in the budget. The machines are not that expensive at all. It was just, man, if I could just do a single flange, like what we do as a custom manufacturer, all the exhaust systems look different. So we're a very high mix, low volume. So you would think, well, that's not a good thing for automated welding. Yeah, it is, because every exhaust system has a flange. Every exhaust system has little pad eyes. Every exhaust system has this, this, this. So if we can just weld those components together before it gets to the fabricator, forget about it. So, you know, I don't think, unless you're like, you know, like in Louisiana, we're talking to a customer and they're very interested in buying a high robotics cobot. And I had talked to them a few times. They're like, well, we got to get engineering to do this, to do that. Understood. And this is a much bigger company than us. And when we were there, he showed me these big boats that they're building. And I said, yeah, I don't know that you can get a cobot in here. This is crazy. Then we went to their other facility where they put the boats together. And I'm like, here's where the cobot goes. You see all that you're welding? That's gone. Put it on the cobot. And they're like, really? You think? I'm like, absolutely. You don't need no fixturing, no nothing. Just put the cobot right there and click, 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 click. So it's like, you know, just just use your brain a little bit and you'll know more or less. And the beauty of it, the HireBotics, you know, and most of the other companies too, they'll do all the demo parts you want. I mean, at the end of the day, they're trying to sell you a piece of equipment. So send them some parts. You'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I heard, I think one of the biggest things I heard from that was you knew your business well enough. You knew what the bottleneck, the capacity issues were well enough that when you saw this proven out, it was a very simple math equation to be like, yes, there's an ROI here.
Yeah, this one made too much sense because the highest paid people in our company are the fabricators. And if they have to do all the tedious welds, that's not good. Cobot, we paid off the Cobot within like an order. One order we paid off the Cobot. So that was done. Now it's just icing.
Chris, one thing I want to pull on too is something that Justin said, which I think is key, is that some companies that we talk to when they're in the discovery phase, they get stuck on, well, my stuff is custom or my stuff is big, you know, and they miss the fact that, well, there's all these brackets all over the equipment, right? And those are the same for all over, you know. Yeah, so you might make a silo, a storage silo. Everyone's different because everyone has, you know, a different, it's engineered for whatever site it's going to, but they all have pads for legs and the brackets and things like that and small parts that go into it. And, you know, that sometimes takes a little bit of education to get them over that hump to see that there's a lot of common small parts, even if you're doing custom engineered final solutions.
Great point. So for a custom manufacturer, there's still a lot of low hanging fruit, a lot of the stuff that's the same where a solution like this can make sense.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're in the final throes of our conversation. This references back to something else Justin was talking about earlier. It's like, hey, when you sign the papers, salesperson's gone forever. You never hear from them again. I want to hear what it's been like after the robots have been installed and what the working relationship between you two looks like now. So Justin, if you can lead that off, and then Rob, if you can back clean up on that one, we'll go in that order.
Well, yeah, I mean, with HireBotics, I'm talking to them weekly. I mean, whether it's Matt, Mike, Rob, any of them, we're in constant communication. But so our production manager, when we gave him the Cobot, we're like, all right, he's been here forever. He doesn't speak English too well, but we all speak Spanish here being in South Florida. So, but he is not a robot guy. He is just, give me the metal and I'll make it work. And he's tremendous. So we gave him the Cobot. Again, he's, you know, he doesn't know how to send a text message. Okay, he's old school. He's using the Cobot. He said, Justin, man, I don't know what's happening. Something with the filler rod, it keeps messing up. I don't know how to fix it. He's like, I was going to call the company, but I don't know the phone number. Hey, Camilo, no. Get the app, right? We run the Cobot on the app. See that little live chat button? Hit it. Text message. Immediate reply. And, you know, hey, this is the problem. The guy said, send me a picture behind the machine of this thing. Took a picture. I guess there's like a tensioning thing there with one, two, or three. We had it too loose. We had to go from three to two. And that was it. Like 5 minutes, just live texting. Which, again, for me, when we were considering buying the Cobot, I wanted that. I know we get the machine, we'll figure it out. But I need to know that if it's down, I can make a phone call and somebody's going to get on the phone. Nowadays, you can't get a person on the phone for nothing. I tried to close a bank account the other day. I almost had a stroke. So, you know, the automated line, I just want to close the account. So the live chat feature and all that, it's like, it's instantaneous and it keeps a history of everything you've done. And they'll send you the link to the section of the manual on how to do that just in case you forget for next time. So with the technology, it's a breeze. It really is. So, I mean, we've had it for 2 years almost now. No issues.
Rob, that was a pretty good commercial for you right there. I don't know if you could top that, but is there anything you would add? Because, you know, I think it goes back to just the overall solution, right? It's something that's easy to set up and then easy to use and then easy to get support for moving on. But I'd love to hear it in your words.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to top what Justin said as a real experience. But, you know, the product is a connected product. And one of the additional benefits besides, you know, real-time software updates and things like that is that there's in-app support. And so customers could go in, they hit support, they can browse knowledge articles on their own time, they can do tutorials on their own time, but they can also live chat with us. And our average response time is about 1 minute. So they pop in a question. So oftentimes there's knowledge articles, but they missed it, or, you know, it's a learning experience for us to make them better. But, you know, you get our team, and the fact that it's connected, we're not saying, well, who is this? What's your serial number? What's the status of this? You know, do you have this software on it? Like this, we already know. And so we get right to the problem quickly. We get right to the solution quickly. And, you know, it's one of those things that we like to highlight when we're doing demos, virtual demos or trade shows. It's hard for people, I feel like, to appreciate it until they have that first experience where they have to reach out in app for support. Mm. And they're just blown away because they're used to, I got a problem with some piece of equipment. Go like your guy, Justin, you know, got to go find the number, got to go find the manual. What's the serial number? I'm going to talk to somebody that doesn't know what they're doing to wait to get a call back from engineering. And they really get blown away by the responsiveness of the team. And so that's something that we really strive for and take pride in, is that how we do support.
So my last question then is, what have the results been so far? Maybe what were the expected results going into something like this? And what has having a cobot welding solution helped you achieve? Justin, if you want to answer that one, I think that's geared right towards you.
Yeah, the only thing I was looking out of it was to get caught up again and get back to not missing deadlines, which we obviously did. And the added stuff is, you know, we've never employed more welders and fabricators. I want to stress that. The robot did not replace anybody. The robot made us hire more welders and more fabricators. It increased our capacity so much. Another thing it did is that, you know, the high-end mega yacht, hey, I'm getting two new engines, come do an exhaust system, that might run you 100 to 500K depending on. Those are big projects. We can handle those. But if I want to supply the OEM companies with my product on their product, I got to bring costs down significantly. They're not trying to pay custom fabricated pricing. They're getting their parts in China for pennies on the dollar. With the cobot now, we've been able to do it so much faster and lower the cost that we can now play in that world. And so we're starting to supply a lot of the engine companies with the exhaust smaller parts already on the engine. So no matter if it goes on a land-based generator or it's going on a mega yacht, our stuff's already there. And that's a new market we've never had a shot in, and now we do, because we can do so much. And really, you know, not a lot of hands touch it. You're picking the parts from stock, and then they go to the cobot operator, and then they go to shipping. That's it. So we've really been able to streamline, and that helps with profit, and it helps us get into other markets.
Well, I mean, what I heard was, first, it got you caught up. It allowed you to hire more people. You know, it didn't replace anyone. It actually got you to hire more folks. And then the last thing I'm hearing from that is, you know, it opened up new markets to you, areas you couldn't compete in before. So, incredible way to wrap it up. I always like to ask this at the end. Is there anything you wish I would have asked you during this discussion? Rob, you've been answering second all day. So we'll start with you, and then we'll give it to Justin at the end.
I'll say we don't offer a custom product. We offer a standard solution. We it's in stock, and so, you know, oftentimes I think people are expecting robotics to be customized and highly customized with long lead times. And, you know, maybe a question, I guess, to frame that up would be, what's the lead time for something like this if somebody wants one, right? It's one day. We get an order, we'll ship it tomorrow.
Justin, anything on your mind or any final words of advice for the audience out there?
No, maybe one point is that, you know, again, I was talking about the difference in our company between welders and the fabricators. And it's different. They're very different. Some welders, they just want to weld. Leave me alone. I want to weld. Where we want to encourage them to learn how to fabricate. And some of them don't want to do it. Some of them want to, but they just don't have the, you know, the traits to do it. It's not for everybody. It's a certain skill. What we've been able to do with the cobot is to help bring the welders. Hey, man, you're making whatever an hour. Why don't you spend an hour a day learning the cobot? And if you can do that, I'll give you a raise. And then if you can do that, why don't you do some prefab and I'll give you a raise? Then when you do that, you're fabricating, bro. So it actually helps with employee morale and the attrition rate. Like, everybody's staying and they're in and they get to earn more. We get another fabricator. It's like a win-win-win-win-win. That's an important point that I think a lot of people who are thinking about incorporating this technology, if they're having trouble keeping people, this is a good way to keep them.
I'm glad you mixed that one in there at the end. There's no right answer to that final question. They're all correct answers as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I guess I do have one final question for both of you. I normally ask this towards the start, but we've been talking about yachts and I'm thinking about Southern Florida right now. I have to ask you, if we did have this conversation over a drink today, Where would it be? Give me a specific bar. Give me a location by the sea, whatever it is. You get to pick your favorite spot. Ooh. Rob, I see you're thinking right now. So, Justin, you start us off with this. Tell us where we would have been grabbing a beverage today.
I mean, the famous restaurants, right? The Prime 112s and all that you hear in the rap songs. Great. Why don't we go right across the street here in Fort Lauderdale? It's one of the biggest marinas there is, right? Safe Harbor Lauderdale Marine Center. They just opened up a brand new restaurant right there on the water. I would take you guys there. You can see all the yachts, and it's really cool. That would be a good place. And if that's not good enough, we can always go to the beach and find a spot there. But yeah, the views in South Florida and the weather. You can eat outside year-round. I'd do something like that.
That's a good South Florida answer. Rob, can you give us a Nashville answer then in that case? Because that's also a pretty good spot to grab a beverage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to top the scenery and weather in Florida. But in Nashville, we'd be getting barbecue at Edley's, or we'd be getting hot chicken at Hattie B's. And then we'd be going to Broadway downtown where all the live music is, getting a beer at Tootsie's and kind of walking to bar to bar to bar, listening to live music. And, you know, we would have different sights to see than in South Florida, but we'd be having a good time.
I love it. All right, we're hitting South Florida on Friday. We're hitting Broadway on Saturday. That sounds like a plan. Well, hey, in all sincerity, gentlemen, thank you for taking us through this today. Great example, great story. I know the audience is going to learn a ton from this one. So with that, cheers, and thank you to both of you.
Cheers.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thank you for listening. Hey, for everyone out there, I'm curious, what did you think of this episode? It was something new. Wanted to do a case study, wanted to give you something that maybe will help you solve one of your problems in manufacturing. The episode was about adopting cobots, adopting robotics, but quite frankly, I feel there were some great lessons in here from both Rob and Justin about how to adopt technology in general, how to get other stakeholders involved. I would be very curious what you learned from this conversation, and if so, please share it on social media. You can use the link to the show notes page, manufacturinghappyhour.com/183. Post that, share your biggest takeaway. Would love to hear what you thought about this episode and if we do more like these, to be honest. So as always, if you want to learn more, I just mentioned it, show notes page at manufacturinghappyhour.com/183. There you can connect with Rob and Justin, D'Angelo Marine Exhaust, Hirebotics. And of course, I'll have links for all the bars we mentioned at the end of the conversation. By the way, that place inside of the Fort Lauderdale Marina is Yacht Bar and Kitchen, I believe, but yacht is spelled Y-O-T. So hey, anyway, show notes page, you can check all of that out. A few announcements before we wrap up. I'm going to do this by thanking each of our three sponsors for today. First, thank you to the Association for Advancing Automation. And as you all should know by now, their big Automate show is taking place next week on May 6th. Through 9th, 2024 in Chicago, Illinois. It's going to be great, their biggest yet. If you want to learn more about robotics, if you want to attend education sessions, talk to solution providers that are there, go to this event. You can register by going to manufacturinghappyhour.com/automate2024. And don't forget, we're throwing a party on Tuesday, May 7th at the Guinness Open Gate Brewery from 7 to 10 p.m. Second group I want to thank is Swipe Guide. And speaking of events, we're doing our first ever tour with Swipe Guide. We are going to Grand Rapids, Chicago, and Minneapolis for a three-city tour on May 21st through May 23rd, 2024. Every event is at a brewery. We got something a little different each night. If you want to learn more, go to manufacturinghappyhour.com/tour. There you can purchase tickets for any of the events, and I will let you know that all proceeds from this event go to support the Women in Manufacturing Education Foundation. So thank you, Swipe Guide. And third and finally, I want to say thank you to Visual Components, welcoming one of our newest sponsors to the Manufacturing Happy Hour family. If you need simulation, check these folks out. I look forward to sharing more about them here on the podcast very soon. And with that, stay innovative, stay thirsty. We hope to see you at Automate in Chicago next week. We will catch you very soon. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Manufacturing Happy Hour, powered by the Industrial Network.